Welcome to the horse.com special Life Stages live event brought to you by Merck Animal Health. I'm your host, Michelle Anderson, digital managing editor of thehorse.com. Tonight, we're going to be talking specifically about young horses, and I'm excited because I have a young horse right now. So I have lots of my own questions, as well as all the great questions that you guys sent in. We are joined by our expert, Dr. Earl Gaughan, who is a professional services technical veterinarian with Merck Animal Health. Welcome, Dr. Gaughan.
Thank you, Michelle. It's my pleasure to be with you this evening.
So, Dr. Gaughan, you're a board-certified surgeon, and you've been a professor of equine surgery in your past. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, especially regarding young horses, and why do young horses see surgeons?
Yes, I have had 10 years of private practice and 20 years of academic practice, and 25 of those total years were spent in what we call referral veterinary practice, and that would be horse specific. And so as the number of foals have kind of waxed and waned through those years, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of broodmares as well as foals, and through their growing years, the various numbers of problems that we see that we can manage medically, and sometimes in their more extreme situations that we have to manage them surgically. And anywhere from what we would call an angular limb deformity or crooked legs, or what we refer to as contracted tendons, which we might get to a little later because I don't really like that terminology, but those types of things, as well as the kind of feared things that we group under the terminology of OCD or osteochondrosis, all of those can at one point in time require surgical treatment to try to have the best result for an adult athlete that we can. So kind of in a quick summary, that's where my role has come in my career.
Okay. This event is an hour long. We're going to do our best to stay within that time frame. If you're listening live, thank you for joining us, and you can submit your questions via your console in your internet browser as we go along. So if you have questions for Dr. Gaughan or follow-up questions to things that we're talking about that maybe could be a little bit more clear, feel free to send those questions in, and we'll see how many we can get to. We're going to start out with just some basic care questions about young horses. You know, this is a time that it's a foundation of our young horses' career and life, and it's a time to really set the standard for health. And I want to ask Dr. Gaughan to explain what defines a young horse. What age group are we going to be talking about tonight?
You probably will find various opinions on this, but for me, it's actually from before birth through about 4 years of age. Mostly, we deal with horses from the time of birth till they're about 2 to 2.5 years of age and upwards to 3. So there's various things that can happen in kind of each of those time slots that would bring a young horse to a veterinarian's attention.
Okay, so in theory, a 3 or 4 year old horse is an adult and should act like one, right?
I call them a young adult, but yeah.
Okay. I have an 11-year-old that still thinks he's a young adult. So.
Yeah, I bet so.
We have a question from Elise in Idaho, and she wants to know how frequently a young horse will need a hoof trim from the ages of weanling to 2 or 3 years old. And at what point do we need to actually put shoes on our young horses? She says one of her horses is 3 and just started her training to be a jumper. Then her trainer is saying that the horse needs shoes soon. What are some indications that she might need those shoes?
To the beginning, in the first question here, how frequently do young horses need hoof trims? And to me, that depends entirely on the individual's needs. I come from this from a conservative point of view, and I think fairly judicious types of approaches with the farrier, and I think early coordination between the owner, the farrier, and the veterinarian are important to make these kinds of decisions. Some early care from the farrier for trimming may be necessary for some of the corrections that we hope to make in the limb's conformation. Generally, but any time before 4 to 8 weeks of age would not be necessary. The foal's feet are very soft, somewhat deformable. Normal wear will often take care of the types of trims that might be required at that point. But as the horse ages, again, we fall back into the regular types of trim cycles and attention, at least from the farrier. May not need to be a dramatic type of trim, but at least of having these young horses evaluated on a 4 or closer to 8 week kind of a schedule is appropriate. Again, perhaps nothing will need to be done, but if something is, it's always going to be better done too early than too late. At what point they might need shoes, again, is going to depend on what the animal's doing, somewhat what their specific orthopedic needs might be, and what their foot type of development may create for them. Many, many horses do not need shoes, and depending on what they're doing, they may never need to have shoes on. A horse that's 3 and just started in training, and the trainer believes the horse needs shoes, I think she needs to pay attention to why that might be, and certainly between the trainer and the farrier, there are indications for support. If the horse's growth is requiring some support from the solar surface, then putting shoes on and support from that perspective is certainly an indication to do that. I hope that's answering the question, but I think each horse is a wee bit different. Each sport requirement is a wee bit different as well. But routine and regular consultation with the farrier and their veterinarian is pretty important to make those decisions.
Now, when we have young horses, a lot of us owners are working with a trainer frequently to get help with those youngsters. And we see our farriers on a regular basis, but what are some indications that we need to get our veterinarian in the circle helping with the horse's hoof care when they're young?
One would be if any of those folks that are on the team, I'll call it, believe that you need some medical opinion or medical guidance. That's probably the obvious one. If in the routine observations, I'm a great believer in symmetry, and so looking from right to left, if you see things that are beginning to be asymmetrical, and especially in the foot development, then that's a strong indication for a veterinary examination. One of the more obvious ones also would be any kind of lameness that's concerned or thought to be of foot origin, and I think it's an urgent need, if lameness is present, to be there and have an evaluation done pretty quickly at that point. So one, if growth looks eccentric, foot development looks odd, the quality of hoof wall is questionable, I think, again, a veterinary opinion would be important.
And I've seen older horses and heard people say, oh, well, this crookedness could have been corrected when he was a baby, but the farrier didn't get to it, or they didn't see a vet. Is that true? Are some crookedness in the conformation, can you fix that with farrier care when they're young, or is it the horse is born the way they are and that's probably how they're going to be for the rest of their lives?
The growth and development is a very dynamic process, and there are stages during that which intervention both from the farrier and from veterinary care and even out to where my specific indications for surgery have come in, the earlier they're done and done appropriately, the more successful the results are likely to be. There are certainly are some conditions and circumstances where conformation could have been assisted in the correction, and the window of opportunity was lost because time went by and the foal and young horse developed to the point where not much change could be expected from the adult conformation. Having said that, I want to be careful to not blame the farrier for lack of attention to that, because there are a lot of these that simply working from the foot, you're not able to correctly or completely correct. But farrier care and veterinary care working in conjunction is usually the best formula for correction.
So another really important topic with young horses and their basic care is having a deworming program. The AAEP has new guidelines on parasite control, internal parasite control. How does this apply to young horses, and what are our recommendations and also our concerns for young horses having parasite burdens?
The first thing is to make sure, again, going back prior to birth, that the mare is well cared for and her deworming program is appropriate. probably the most profound change that has occurred in the last recent years is the suggestion actually to return to doing frequent and or repetitive fecal examinations to know if there's a parasite burden in the individual. And this would go toward the foal as well. Typically, with deworming will start when it's deemed appropriate between 6 and 8 weeks of age for a foal. The most common parasite that's of concern early in life are the roundworms or the ascrids, and we try to get rid of those because they can be such a devastating problem as the foal ages and the worm burden, if you will, would increase. So we've tremendously decreased that during the course of my career just with the advent of very, very effective deworming agents and the drugs that we use to do that. So back to the big thing the AAP suggests and that we do as well is routine evaluation of the animal and fecal examinations. And then the frequency of deworming and the agents that are suggested has a lot of geographic variability. You know, whether you're in South Louisiana, you may have approaches that are going to be different if you are in northern Wyoming or Montana, and just because you have such seasonal and weather changes that are there. So the reason that we do the whole thing is because the parasites can be so devastating to intestinal health as well as the health of the whole foal. Looking at some of the things that happen when you start to debilitate a foal from a parasite load, things like anemias and just being unthrifty and unable to manifest all of the nutrients from even a good diet when a parasite load is very heavy.
We're going to jump into our next question, which is about dental care in our young horses. Dr. Gahn, can you explain to us why dental care is so important in our young horses?
Yes, dental care is important just because it's the first stage, if you will, of nutrients journey through the GI tract. So horse has to get it in the mouth, manage it well, so that it's swallowed and enters into the intestine. It sounds silly to say it, but that's the reality of things. The reality for us also is the dental aspect of things for the veterinarian for a foal is mostly a matter of doing a thorough exam. There's not a lot necessarily that needs to be done for foals and their teeth. As foals develop and go through weaning and go out through their aging process, everyone probably knows that their baby teeth are what we call deciduous teeth that will be pushed up by the permanent teeth as they develop. But that's really out toward that at the earliest 3 years and out through the four-year-old year. So early on, we're looking mostly for malformations, improper developments, and things like that, but there's not typically a lot of intervention that's required as we would do through the once to twice yearly maintenance for an adult.
So I just had the vet out for my spring exams, and he looked at my young horse, and he said that she has wolf teeth. Now, not all horses mm-hmm. have wolf teeth, so can you explain to us a little bit what those are, why they're there, and why it might be important to get rid of them?
I can probably explain to you more what they are than why they're there. But it's a great question. About 70% of horses have wolf teeth. They're far more common on the upper teeth than the lower. What they are by definition is the first premolar, which is the first teeth of the grinding arcades, if you will, of the teeth that sit behind the first teeth or the incisors that you see when you open a horse's mouth. Wolf teeth are rudimentary teeth. They may be something to do with the evolution of how the horse's mouth were to develop, but they are small, enamel-covered. They are dental tissues, but they don't serve any tremendous purpose for the horse. That's commonly why they are so successfully removed. The reality is horses don't really require their removal unless they are to have something in their mouth like a bit that might create some problems. Horses have lived with wolf teeth throughout their lives and done very well. So it pretty much is a standard kind of traditional thing to do as far as removing wolf teeth, but most commonly it's for the horses, in which so many are, that are destined to have a bit in their mouth.
So We have a question from Mary in Vermont, and she has a warm blood yearling who is growing really quickly. She said that the sire and dam are 16-3 and 17 hands, and she has a suspicion that the filly is going to be as tall, if not taller, than her parents. She said the joints on this filly are massive, and she knows that a lot can go wrong with joints if a horse grows too fast. She said that she's feeding her, or trying to feed her, an adequate and balanced diet and watch the joints closely, but she really has no idea what she's looking for as far as something that might go wrong. What do you look for? Is it bumps, unevenness? Is there shape that she should be watching for? She wants to keep tabs to make sure that she's not in danger of the horse developing OCD. What suggestions do you have?
This is a very, very good question. And the biggest thing to be aware of is that with the genetic kind of code, if you will, to be a large horse as an adult, what we see is a tendency for these horses to grow fairly rapidly and fairly large as youngsters. And one of the other important things to remember is how the growth actually occurs. Growth is not something that's just a nice smooth line from birth to adult size. It's much like children where they will go through ratcheted or rapid growth phases. So one of the things to very much look for is this young horse going through a growth phase and growing larger quicker? And is there anything untoward going on? I go back to the earlier statement about how important observations of symmetry are. So as far as what to be looking for, it would be to note perhaps what's normal today. And is that changing over the course of even days? Sometimes, although the growth can be so rapid in some of these young horses, that change can literally happen in days of time. That said, you want to be looking for increases in size that are soft, if at all painful. So I like to have eyes on them and hands on them. So some of the early conditioning of a horse should be to the touch of the owner. And so some of these early kind of communication things can also be very nice examination time. So you're wanting to look for, again, swellings, enlargements, anything that would bother someone that could involve any degree of pain, and that would be just from touching or what we call palpating. And you can put some pretty strong pressure with your hands over these joint areas. And you also want to feel for things that may feel either like a sponge, which is what edema or inflammation will feel like. And the other analogy that I use is if something feels like a water balloon and is excessively filled with fluid, that would be a concern enough to have someone come help evaluate and see what's going on there. The other reality here is we don't want to encourage nutritionally these young horses to grow very rapidly because that's one of the places where we can have some successes in moderating somewhat of the growth rate, if you will. And that's generally a calorie or an energy type of overload that we have to be careful with. So specific shapes, you know, I would consult a textbook that has, or one of the magazines for horses that have given good illustrations. The horse has some nice illustrations for that, for what normal would be. And any questions that come up that would vary from what everyone's idea of normal would be, then I think that's a strong indication to have a veterinarian come in and take a look. I know there's a huge fear for things like osteochondrosis or OCD, and that is indeed something we worry about with excessively rapid growth in any of these young animals that tend to get very large as adults.
So, what are some of the long-term concerns for a horse that has OCD as a youngster?
Let's define it first. You know, OCD stands for osteochondritis desiccans, and kind of a mouthful of words, but essentially that's a subheading under a larger heading, if you will, called osteochondrosis. We've even kind of enlarged that group to just use a term that we often will call developmental orthopedic diseases. And these are things that indeed happen due to the process of growth. And One of the things that I like to kind of remind people is that an adult skeleton comes originally from a model, if you will, in the womb when the fetus is there and developing, and the skeleton is all made of cartilage. So there's a process that's called endochondral ossification, which means in my mind that from cartilage comes bone. So there's this transitional phase in time where a cartilaginous template of the skeleton becomes bone and goes through an ossification process. What OCD is and what some of the other forms of these developmental orthopedic diseases are is a malfunction, if you will, or a poor formation or a failure of this endochondral ossification to occur locally. OCD specifically implies that this happened on a joint surface, so there is an irregularity on the joint, or what we call the articular cartilage, in one joint or another. The most common place for OCD to occur in the horse is in the upper joint of the hock on the bottom end of the tibia. And so it's the good news about that is it can create blemishes without necessarily creating lifelong lameness. When it occurs on other locations, it can have some devastating and lifelong repercussions. So we're anxious to make that diagnosis as early as we can.
We have another OCD-related question from Krista in California. She has a 2-year-old that has developed large fluid-filled swellings on his hocks that don't appear to be painful. At first glance, she said her vet is saying it looks like OCD that might require surgery at some point. How would her horse have developed that, and how will it affect her horse's future performance? And is she likely to have to do surgery on her horse?
Similarly to what we just described, this pretty much is the description of what the most common form of OCD would be. The layman's term for this would be a boggy hock, B-O-G, bog like a swamp. So it refers to moisture or water in the joint. In the upper joint of the hock, it can get quite large sometimes. That's where my water balloon analogy kind of comes in. We usually encourage the removal of those fragments if they're truly there. And I say it that way because it requires a radiograph or an x-ray to know for sure that there is that OCD fragment there. Most commonly, it is. Sometimes it's not, and we may be able to manage these horses medically without surgery. But many of them do require the removal of these small bone and cartilage fragments, and based on getting them out, what we hope is we take kind of the nidus or the stimulus for the irritation out, and the animal can go forward and have a very normal, long life without the repercussions that could occur if those fragments were left in. And the worry is, do some of these predispose the horse to having some arthritis as they age? Many, many of these horses do very well. So what I call the classic hock OCD, it's usually a matter of doing what you need to do when they're young and expecting good things to happen when they're adults.
So I kept my young horse at a barn, and this was many years ago, that had a bunch of babies that were show babies. They were halter horses. And people were very concerned about something called epiphysitis. And I don't hear that term used very often anymore, but what is epiphysitis, and is it something that we're still concerned about?
It is. The term is an older one. We've kind of trended away from it, but it's still a commonly used term. What epiphysitis means in a pure word would be inflammation of the epiphysis. So we got to do a little quick anatomy lesson here. At the ends of the long bones, we have a growth plate. And the growth plate's name is actually the physis. The bone that's below that or above that, closer to the joint, but at the ends of the bones, is called the epiphysis. So years ago, people said, well, it's just inflammation in that area. We're going to call it epiphysitis. So the correct word these days would be physitis. Now, some will think we're just kind of picking straws here, and it's not that important a difference. And in dealing with it, it may not be. But physitis is the worry that we have. Epiphysitis is something that we actually don't see as commonly, but it is it is, and it becomes somewhat of a word game. But epiphysitis is inflammation of the area of the growth plate. It goes back to that same thing that we've been describing again. And with the epiphysitis, it's the cartilage that's present is what's responsible for making the bone longer and wider. And when the process of this thing, again, that we call endochondral ossification doesn't go well, you become inflamed. And so the growth plates can be inflamed, they can become enlarged, and they can also become painful. So some of these young horses, when they're going through these spurts of growth, especially when they do it rapidly and somewhat excessively, they can become uncomfortable, they can become painful, and then the limb can become deformed because of that. And that's where the worry of the old style epiphysitis comes in.
So you've mentioned growth plates a couple times, and with my own filly, she's a warm blood Anglo cross, so she has a lot of kind of late bloomer bloodlines. And my vet said that he feels like her knees haven't closed. And so when we're talking about her knees haven't closed or her growth plates haven't closed, what does that mean? And is there a way for us to really know when the knee is closed or the growth plate is closed?
Yes. And what it means is that radiographically or on an X-ray, the growth plate does not show any further evidence of having cartilage present in it. When you look at cartilage and you look at a growth plate on an X-ray, it will be a what we call somewhat of a lucent line, a line of less density than the normal bone. Those types of things, and we usually use the bottom end of the radius just above the horse's knee as kind of the guideline, if you will, for when these growth plates will close. That's one of the later ones to close in a horse's life, and the classic time period for that would be between 30 and 36 months of age when those will actually close. Now, there's a lot of reduction in activity during those later years. The most active phases of the growth plate activity are from birth to about a year of age. It begins to slow down after 8 months considerably, but it's still open. And therefore, when your veterinarian says they probably are still open, that's what he's referring to. There's still some activity going on there. And if you took an X-ray, you would be able to see the growth plate line, if you will.
We have a question that's come in from our live audience. Bob is listening in Northern California, and he said that his mare just had a vibrant, bouncing, bucking colt who is 4 weeks old. He wants to know, when is a good time to have him gelded? I'm thinking that little guy is a handful.
Great question. The reality in some of the research that's been done there is you can geld a male horse just about any time that you can successfully reach the testicles and simply do the surgery to remove them. Now, tradition usually has us hold on to the male tendencies because there's a belief by many that the hormonal influences of the testicles being there will influence body type later in life. There's been some other research work that has questioned that. So I know some people castrate early. Some people will castrate late. 4 weeks would be a little early for my comfort level, just because we usually anesthetize these horses so that there's not a painful experience with the castration. 4 weeks of age, there's a lot going on as this little guy is trying to mature. So I would prefer to wait till post-weaning personally. That's my preference.
We have a question from Kendra in New Mexico, and she adopted a 19-year-old draft mare and had a surprise foal. The foal is now 9 months old. She said that mom probably didn't have proper care and nutrition for the most of her pregnancy, and she said she's worried about her colt. She said that she doesn't feed him grain, but she wants to know what are some good options for feeding him in a way that might make up for the lack of nutrition his mother had when he was in utero.
You got to be a little bit careful thinking that we're going to make up for lost time, if you will. One of the interesting natural things that we see is mothers with pregnancies sacrifice a lot of their bodies for the betterment of the fetus, if you will. So, these mares probably, and this mare specifically, if she was struggling, she probably gave up a lot of her energy and nutrients to the foal as it was developing in the womb. That said, this youngster is now 9 months old. You want to be very, very careful to not try to make up again for anything that may not have been available to the foal in its younger days to months. And so, yeah, to me, at this stage of life, a good quality hay, a good quality water source is the very best that we could probably provide. If there's further questions, looking at how this youngster has developed, I would really encourage a veterinary consultation to see if there's anything else that would be required nutritionally. There are occasional things that may be regional. New Mexico has some certain challenges, but if she can access a good quality hay and this youngster looks good, she's probably going to have a very nice adult.
Okay. I'm sure she'll be relieved to hear that. Our next question is from Gabrielle in Ashland, Oregon. And she says that she has a Morgan colt who will be 2 years old in June. He seems to be maturing very slowly physically. Is it okay that he's growing slow? She said that he's currently on pasture and supplemented with hay as needed. He gets free choice minerals. Should she be feeding him anything else or more to help him grow faster, or is he going to grow at his own pace?
My opinion that is slow maturity is probably a good thing. It's almost all of the problems that we see are from maturing too quickly and being pushed, if you will, nutritionally and other ways to develop more of an adult body style earlier in life. So it almost makes me smile that we have a slow maturing individual. And again, if she's got good pasture and supplemented with nice grass hay and free choice minerals, I don't know that I could ask for better. I think she's doing well.
Our next question is from Jennifer in California, and she says she purchased a 3.5-year-old Tennessee walking mare about a month ago. The mare filly had just pretty much been shelved by the breeder and went into a field with a lot of other brood mares. During this time, at least 6 months, she had insufficient feed or nutrients. She's moved. Then she was moved and was on alfalfa hay cubes in a paddock for 3 or 4 months. This woman bought her, changed her feed slowly to alfalfa grass hay mix and a supplement. What's your take on this horse's chance for any issues? Or is she doing the right thing currently with the horse making up for that lack of nutrition early on?
I think she's doing well. At 3.5 years of age, again, you just don't necessarily want to set your sights on making up for the time that's already passed. She really answered my biggest question when she said she changed her feed slowly. When we see problems occur in young adults in any aged horse, really, it's from too rapid a change of what's provided in a diet. So, and the equidae that she is providing as well is considered to be a good supplement and good feed to put in there with things as well. So I have no concerns there. I think she's doing well. If she steps back and kind of does a body score or body condition scoring and this mare is looking good, I don't have a lot to offer here. I think she's probably doing the right things and, again, could probably look forward to a pretty normal adulthood.
And for anyone who's listening who's interested in more information about body condition scoring, we do have a lot of resources if you do a search on the site for body condition score. You won't want to do that in the browser that you're in currently listening live, because then you will lose the broadcast. You'd want to open another window or wait until after the broadcast to search for that. But we have some great information and examples of body condition scoring. I have a question for you, Dr. Gahn, because you mentioned transitioning slowly. And I live here in the Oregon High Desert, and I don't have irrigation, so my horses are on dry lot. I have – my filly's been here since early October on dry lot getting hay and her supplemental feed. But I have the opportunity to send her out to a friend's ranch on irrigated pasture for the summer. And I'd like to do that because, you know, she's slow to mature. Should I be concerned about taking her and kicking her out on pasture for the summer? Is laminitis a concern? Is colic a concern? When I think of laminitis, I always think of older horses with metabolic issues and not necessarily a young horse. So what are some ways that I could get her out, if that's a good idea, safely?
One, I think you can do it safely, but again, the big word is change and is rapid change. For your question about laminitis, I think probably the best example I can give you is that the veterinarians who study laminitis and to induce laminitis, we use a carbohydrate overload model, was one of the ones that was studied for years, and that's simply feeding too much carbohydrate too quickly. And what will happen is the flora in the GI tract will change, and you will have some of the repercussions that could be witnessed as colic and potentially as laminitis. So I don't think this should scare you away from doing this, but I think paying attention to change and making the change slow and deliberate. And what I would mean by that is if you had the ability with your friends where you would take her to spend 10 days to 2 weeks making the transition with increasing periods of time each day out on this new grass, I think ultimately you would be fine. But as with any kind of feed stuff being brought in, even in being fed at home on the dry lot, you just have to do it gradually and carefully. But it
Okay.
can be done, and it can be done safely.
Yeah, after spending all winter on a dry lot, I think my filly would really like to be out. If she had her choice, she would go to my friend's ranch for the summer before she gets started under saddle. And so with that, we're going to transition into some exercise questions. We've already talked a little bit about growth plates, but we have a question from Laurel in Washington, and she's wants to know if it's appropriate to pony a young horse along mountain trails with mature horses, and what age would be best to start that kind of work. So if you're listening and you're not familiar with ponying, that would be where you would ride one horse and you would lead the young horse along with you on that ride. So Dr. Gahn, what are your thoughts on ponying young horses?
It can be done, and certainly it's one of the ways that we get horses used to being with other horses and getting exercise programs initiated. Without trying to sound like a broken record here, all things in moderation is a very good way to look at this, and you have to keep an eye on safety. I think these youngsters need to be obviously trained on how to do this, how to respond to the clues and the cues on what we're trying to do with them when they're being ponied. The best way to begin any exercise program with these young horses, and I think here we're most likely in talking about post-weaning here essentially and getting close to the yearling year, but it can be done in these younger stages after weaning. But short durations help not only with the training but also with the exercises that we're looking at, be it poning or any other type of exercise here. Short durations, getting them used to that and taking slow incremental increases there. So what I would not advise would be in getting a youngster used to being led from someone on another horse and then loading up and heading into the mountains to spend a weekend on the trail. That's probably not the way you want to get started. So I think just again being careful and going forward, but it's a very common way to get youngsters started, so I wouldn't discourage that at all.
We have a question from Chris in Olympia, Washington. Chris is training a 2-year-old Arabian. She said that she's not lunging the horse in tight circles, and she plans to wait on doing that until the horse is 3. She said that she will then get him balanced at the walk and then trot in the canter. She wants to know if you agree with waiting until he's 3 years old to start lunging in circles. She notes that the youngster has excellent ground manners, and she plans to drive him as well before lunging. Are there any concerns with lunging horses on a tight circle when they're young?
3 years old for me was certainly not be too young to get started. I think some of the training that can come from learning to work on a lunge line can be begun much before 3 years of age. So the tight circle is all in the definition. My tight circle might not be yours, but when we're looking at a 30-foot round pin or a 60-foot round pin with a 30-foot radius, that's probably going to be fine when you start tightening up the earlier. I think where her concerns have come in is some of the torsional or torquing kind of forces we can see on a young horse's growth plates again when they're quite young. At 3 years of age, I don't have quite the concern. So I think it's something to get the animal used to and avoiding excesses. But I would also be paying attention to the confirmation of this individual and others that she might consider working with. If there are certain conformational faults that type of torsional motion would be problematic for, I would have someone come in and give her some help trying to decide if anything else is going to be needed. But at 3 years of age, the horse is reasonably mature, and I believe probably could begin lunging and do so successfully.
We have a question from Julie in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she asks, besides proper nutrition, are there ways to physically strengthen your young horse to help him prevent injuries later on as an adult or prepare them for a future stressful physical career such as eventing or racing?
Always taken in a stepwise progression, conditioning is an important thing to care to take and pay attention to. Introductions to exercise when they're sudden and they're abrupt and they're severe are asking for problems. So it's much like, again, you and I, and I think this applies to any horse, whether they're coming off of winter and they're out of shape. I think we have to slowly condition things back to where they can withstand additional work. So, boy, proper nutrition is always good. Other ways to physically strengthen a horse are going to come back to work. And I think work just in a very stepwise increase in a program is the way to go.
We have a question from Rebecca in Nebraska, and Rebecca wants to know how soon before you start riding a young horse can you start exercising them, or should you start exercising them? So should they go straight to the trainer and get started under saddle, or should you start building their fitness before they go into that stressful situation of being with the trainer?
Well, similar to the way we talked about the previous question, I mean, riding can certainly start early. If the riding coincides with what I would call and define as excessive, then obviously I would tell you to back away from that some. But if you have a slow, steady progression, and, you know, we always start with walk to trot, and we start with periods of time that begin in minutes, and they work up from there. If we think about conditioning the musculoskeletal system as well as the cardiovascular system, then I think we're paying appropriate attention to how we get them going. Whether that's done at home before the trainer or go straight to the trainer probably is going to depend on each individual situation and whether they are prepared to do some of that on their own or if they have concerns about their own abilities to get that done appropriately.
So when you do start a horse under saddle, well, let's first take this question about what age is the correct age. Julie in Michigan says she has 2 2-year-old horses that she's working on the ground, and she said many horses are started under saddle before they're 3 years old, but people have been telling her to wait until they're 3 and 4. What is the proper age, and what is the concern of starting them early? And Dr. Gunn, we did get a lot of questions about reining horses and race horses starting under saddle early in their 2-year-old year. What are your thoughts on that?
Skeletal maturity, going back to an earlier statement, is not fully completed till 30 to 36 months of age. So they're beyond their 2-year-old year when that occurs. So starting them early, I think with appropriate attention to how the animal is brought into work and how they are conditioned, the animals can start earlier. You know, the various sporting endeavors usually have different traditions as well as different suggestions. So to try to say that one is wrong and one is right becomes a little bit difficult to do. But what we do see is animals that when they're somewhat delayed, perhaps you could argue have a longer or their longevity may be a bit longer during their athletic career. Some sports are not directed that way. So the 2-year-old year is certainly not too young to be tacking a horse up and getting started, but the severity of the exercise, again, depends on each individual's development. So knowing that the skeletal development is not completely mature at 2 years of age, I think is at least an important consideration to how the individual in question is handled and managed. So to me, I just like to keep people continually aware of where we are with that.
So once a horse goes into training, are there anything, or is there anything that the trainer and owner should be looking for that could be indications of problems for that horse physically? Any swelling or unsoundness that would raise major red flags that they need to have their vet out to look at the horse?
Certainly any unsoundness, that's a very strong red flag. And the flag that's close to that would be, again, my harping on this asymmetry. If you see swelling, be it in a tendon, ligament, or a joint space, or the anatomy around where a joint is, to me that's cause for concern enough to have a consultation with a veterinarian occur. But by far and away, if lameness shows up or unsoundness is there, that is enough to stop a horse before and not go further until it's evaluated. Young horses that become very lame are not like an older horse who may have an arthritic condition that they may, quote unquote, work through. I always get a little nervous with that terminology, but a young horse that would demonstrate a lameness or a swelling or something of concern, to me, that shouldn't be sat on for very long. We need to probably figure that out much earlier than later.
We have a question from Summer in Michigan, and she wants to know about using leg protection on a young horse. She said that some owners say that boots and wraps can lead to weaker legs and dependence on them for support. Should a young horse wear leg protection in the early stages of training, or could this be detrimental to their development?
These types of wraps and boots are usually not detrimental, and the science behind it would tell you actually that support wraps lose a lot of any support that was even initially there fairly rapidly after a horse begins to move. And so that's been pretty closely evaluated, and it sort of flies in the face of some of our traditions in the horse world, but horses were evaluated with various types of wraps for support on a treadmill and looking at how much compression was maintained and how much support was maintained, and it was surprisingly little in a very short period of time. So if someone wants to use boots or wraps for outside protection, you know, a young horse that may still be learning where his feet are going to fly and you're trying to avoid interference types of things, I've got no problem with that at all, and sometimes they can be very helpful to keep the bumps and bruises from occurring. But I have not necessarily, and I can't recall actually any cases where a bandage type of support was responsible solely for a detrimental development of a horse's skeleton.
Now, I've been around a lot of young horses and older ones too that have popped a splint, people say. Is that something that can happen in this age range, or is that something that comes along later?
It can happen at any time. What popping a splint is, and everyone probably listening knows that the horse has two splint bones on the backside of their cannon bones and two on each leg. And popping a splint usually happens from either a blow on the outside. If you have a horse that has an outside splint, that can commonly happen from just some blunt trauma. And what happens is you injure the membrane around the bone called the periosteum, and you get a hematoma under that or a blood collection there from the injury. And what that then can progress to is developing a new bone production and gets this firm kind of lump, if you will, that you can see. The other ways that this can happen is conformationally. Horses have a little offset in the knee, will often pop a splint on the inside, or what we call the medial splint. And that's just because of excess weight bearing that can occur there, and a similar type of response around the periosteum can occur, and you can get these bumps around that, which are known as splints. So in essence, these are usually not long-term problems. People don't like the way they look, but they are usually mostly a blemish versus a more serious problem.
We have a question from Allison in Washington, and she wants to know if a thoroughbred starts race training as usual and is retired injury-free maybe 2 or 3 years later because he wasn't competitive. Oh, I'm sorry, at 2 or 3 years old because he or she wasn't competitive. Are there any precautions a new owner should take before putting that horse into training for a different discipline? For example, does such a horse need time to let off on his body condition or to continue to mature before he started in maybe a jumping or a dressage or eventing career, even though he's already been conditioned and trained under saddle?
It's a great question because I personally think ex-race horses make great non-race athletes. And probably one of the nicest little horses I ever had was just slow at the racetrack and became an excellent little hunter for a young lady. And so I think that these horses can be wonderful horses for a very long time. The specifics to answer this question about precautions very much depend on how the horse is, what kind of condition the horse is in when someone gets them. If they're doing well and they were just slow and everything's been great, they can transition rapidly over into a new sport and new training activities without a lot of concerns there. If there is, again, a lameness reason that they were retired from the racetrack, if there's some other physical conditioning reason, then obviously those things should be dealt with on the front end before we dive into another endeavor. Frankly, I would suggest heavily having a pre-purchase exam done so you can hopefully detect any of those types of situations that might exist before someone would dive into purchasing a horse that's been on the track. So I'm encouraging for this because I think it's a great place for ex-race horses to go, and the types of training that they've been in and the types of training they're going in may just depend on what their physical condition is at the time when the shift is made.
We have a question from Laura in Colorado, and Laura wants to know if a yearling has a small pinky-sized hernia, is it recommended that that get closed surgically? Will it affect future performance, such as low-level eventing?
By the time a young horse is 12 months of age, most of the hernias, and we're talking specifically here about umbilical hernias, where the belly button was. If that is not sealed spontaneously by the time they're a year of age, usually they would require surgical correction. To leave those unaddressed leaves you somewhat at risk for having intestine herniate through there, which could create a bit of a colic crisis. And so I do get somewhat concerned about hernias in animals that are older than 12 months. That said, that type of surgery is pretty straightforward. It's fairly simple to do. Once it's corrected, there's absolutely no long-term repercussions on that horse's ability to be a normal adult. And low-level eventing to very high, the highest level of athletic performance can be done very, very well, having had a hernia fixed.
We have a question from Chris in Australia, and Chris says that they rescued a 2 and 1.5 year old minis, two minis, one of which had pneumonia when they got him. Can they do anything to help build back his damaged lungs as he's growing?
The quick and easy answer is no. Once lung damage has occurred, if it's not a permanent type of thing, it will probably resolve. So going back to the beginnings of this, I would suggest a very thorough physical exam, even out to the point of radiographing the lungs on these little guys and potentially even an ultrasound exam so we have a very firm grasp of how severe the changes in and around the lungs may be. Once that damage is there and it's severe, there's very little we can do to reverse it, to change it back to normal. There may be some things that we can do to make this little one able to breathe better and manage that condition. Some of that might even go out to, again, some exercise kinds of suggestions for what this little guy could or shouldn't do. But boy, to specifically say I can fix some old lung damage, I have to say there's not much we can do.
Well, Dr. Gunn, we are just about out of time for this evening's broadcast. I want to ask you for your closing thoughts. What are the most important things that you hope people who have young horses take away from our conversation tonight?
One, I appreciate being with you. It's been my pleasure to do that. And my parting thoughts are get to know your young horse. Get to know them well, both visually, behaviorally, how they move. Get your hands on them so that you know what the limbs and the joints feel like. Be sure you coordinate regular veterinary visits as you go through the stages from getting up to weaning and after weaning, and as you get into that yearling and later years. The biggest place that I have seen people get in trouble with the young growing horse is when we all get there too late to be able to help. So it's hard to overemphasize the importance of early recognition and early intervention because it's so much easier to manage these to success, and that sets them up to be a more normal adult later when we're able to do that early. So early, I guess, is the way to go.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Gunn, for joining us and answering our questions. I want to thank everyone who listened live and sent in questions during the event and ahead of time. We also want to thank our sponsor, Merck Animal Health, who is bringing the Life Stages series to you this year. This audio event will be archived on the site if you'd like to revisit it. And if you're looking for more information on managing and caring for your young horse, go to thehorse.com, do a search for young horse right up at the top of your browser, and you should find lots of resources. So thank you again, everyone, and we hope you can join us next time.